Nice to have you with us again. Let us start this wonderful day with a prayer. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're with us here. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have every morning to come in front of your throne and worship you and thank you for everything that you are doing, and also to hear more about how you see us, and to hear your voice, how you explain your word. And I pray for exactly that, that you open your word for us this morning. Amen. I think we all in our life had examples that showed us how we can live in a good and in a victorious way. Maybe your parents were people you really adore because they live in such a good way. Maybe friends or people you know, or even people in your church. Maybe your Familienkreisleiter is one of those examples you have in your life where you know there are some steps ahead of you, and you can learn many things from them. And in the Bible, we find that idea of a role model and of an example oftentimes. For example, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have that cloud of witnesses where we find in the Bible certain persons that are an example to us how we can live victoriously with God. And one of that person, one of those people that are really attractive is Joseph. And one aspect I like in his life, and also I appreciate in the life and in the heart of my wife, is not complaining, although you have big challenges and big fights in front of you. And we really see in Joseph his life how he was not complaining. We do not find once in the whole story when he was sitting down in the well, when he was sitting in prison, it was not reported once that he was complaining, that he was crying, that he was really feeling sad. We do not read about that. It does not mean it never happened, but we do not read, so it was not a part of his identity. In trial, in crisis, he was not complaining. And I don't know how it is with you, but for me, people who have big challenges, but who are not complaining, who are not talking negative all the time, they are so attractive. There is something in their life that attracts me to them. And people who talk bad much because of their challenges, because of their circumstances, because of politics, the weather and everything, people, they are not very, very attractive if they talk so much negative. And we want to look into his life today, so you can open up your Bible to the first book of the Bible, chapter 37. There we find the beginning of the story of Joseph. And the story of Joseph is a story that moves me to my knees and to my tears nearly every time I read or I listen to it, because it's so deep and so moving, so much of an example that God sets in the Bible for us that we can learn from. And the first thing I see is that hope causes the focus on commitments rather than circumstances. So God promised Joseph in a dream that something would happen in his life. And we read in 1 Moses chapter 37, the verses 6 to 8, we read, "He said to them, 'Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it.' His brother said to him, 'Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?' And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said." So the brothers of Joseph, they said, "You are a dreamer and you are not called to reign." They hated him and they called him especially two things. The things that you are thinking about, they are illusion. You are a dreamer. They have nothing to do with reality. And a second thing, you are not called to reign, but you are called to be the little brother who serves me. So you are a dreamer and a slave. It has nothing to do with reality, and you will not rule. And that is something that was in Joseph's his heart, and we see later on that he was enslaved by his brothers, brought to Egypt, and now sitting in a prison, but we still see those dreams being alive and active in his heart. And it's so interesting how Joseph had the ability to have a focus on the word of God, on the promises of God, and not on the circumstances. It's so interesting how he draw truth from God's promises and not from the words of his brothers, not from circumstances that he faced right now in prison. And how about us, that we, as Dave, as Joseph, that we draw truth not only from our feelings, not only from the things that we experience, not only from the words that people tell us. We are not good enough. We will not make it. The words of God, they will not come true in our lives. Our calling is not one to rule, but it's one to be in, to be miserable, to serve as a slave, to be enslaved by so many things. This is not our calling. And we read in Romans 8, 28 and 29, our calling. And it's so important to keep that in mind in challenging times. What are we called to? And we read there in Romans 8, 28 and 29, where it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So everything works for good, even challenges, they work for good. And I don't know about you, but have you ever prayed those words of the Holy Spirit in your challenges? That you said, you the challenges, you are not called to mistreat me. You are called to raise me up. You are called to do me good. Because God said and promised here, that all the challenges you face, they are meant for your good. They are meant to bring you further in the kingdom of God. And 29 explains us what the calling is. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to this image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So God so clearly describes our calling. It is that we in the beginning, as mankind, we lost our calling to be, as we read, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In all our character, in all our power, we should be conformed to the image of Jesus. And God did not forget his calling for you. The same way as Joseph never forgot the dreams he had, we should never forget the dreams that God has for us. And they do not turn into an illusion because circumstances or feelings tell me otherwise. So why not? And let us really stick to the promise of God that he gave us. That no matter your circumstances and challenges and feelings and maybe sickness, the calling of God stays the same. That I am changed and transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, into pure love, into somebody that lives as a vessel for the presence of God himself. And how precious would that be if we not only lament and murmur and feel sad because of challenges. Because the Bible tells us the challenges, they come, yes. But they are meant for a special reason to have us transformed into the likeness of Jesus. A second thing I see in Joseph's life is that his cope causes him to have a free perspective and view of his neighbor. Because we see in chapter 39 of Genesis, we read the verses 20 to 23, we see him putting, being put into jail. But in jail, he was not just sitting down, being sad and crying the whole time. But we read in verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So Joseph was active. He was not just treated bad by life and by people, and then sitting down in prison, crying the whole time, and feeling miserable, and being a victim of life. And then, okay, maybe I was wrong, maybe I'm a dreamer, maybe I'm really called to be a slave, and giving up everything that God has given him. No, we see him being active. We see him having a hope that cleared his sight, not just to look on his circumstances and his feelings, but having a free sight to see his next. And we see then that in the next verses, that two people from two Pharaoh's officials, they were put into prison feeling miserable, and he was seeing it that they were sad. He was not just seeing himself being sad, but he was perceiving that they are feeling sad. And he became a servant of his neighbors and helping and bringing his neighbor to great success, at least one of them. And he was still becoming a blessing. And so precious is it. And I, with my kids, I am have the tradition that we pray one prayer. Lord, let us be a blessing. Not bless us, but in the start of a day, let us be a blessing to others. Wherever we go, if we go to the supermarket, if we meet somebody, if we go to church, if we go anywhere, let us be a blessing. So let us be sure that hope clears our vision, that we do not see and feel just our own circumstances and challenges, but that hope clears our vision, that I see my neighbor to be a blessing for him. And Joseph is a big, big example how we can still, in big challenges, be a blessing for others. And the last thing I see in Joseph's life is that hope believes the truth about himself. Hope helps you to believe the truth. We see in chapter 41 that Joseph is confronted with two different types of truth. We see in Genesis 41, the verse 39, that after being put in prison, he was called by the Pharaoh and being put and raised to the greatest honor in the whole country. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my place, of my palace, and all my people are submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." 41, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. So we see in a few minutes, he was raised from a prisoner and a slave. He was put over all Egypt. I cannot imagine how he felt in that day, when in the evening, when he was lying down, and when he thought, oh man, what has happened today? In a few minutes, he was raised from being a slave in the darkest place, being raised up as a second man in whole Egypt. Later on, it is described a bit funny that the Pharaoh has said that nobody in Egypt is allowed to move his feet or his finger without Joseph's approval. And I cannot imagine how he felt, but he certainly remembered, wait a second, God has given me dreams that are coming to reality today. And today it is obvious that I was not a dreamer, because I was believing the truth about myself. Not that came from the brothers, but that came from the king. And I ask you today, which truth are you believing in? The truth that your brothers and neighbors are telling you, that you are a dreamer and that you are called to be a slave, to be miserable, hoping for better times that will never come? Or are you somebody believing the truth about yourself that comes from the king? Because the king, as we read in Romans 8, 28 and 29, the king tells you, you are my child, the child of the Most High God, filled with the Holy Spirit, being renewed in your nature, filled with the love of God, being set up, being enthroned in heaven with Christ, says Paul. So we have the highest place of angels, of demons, of any mankind, of any human being we have. But oftentimes we live just in the reality of the words of our brothers. We are a dreamer. We can hope for better times that will never come. We are called to be miserable, hoping for God to do something for us. Maybe if we shape up and if we act right all the time. That has nothing to do with the gospel. The gospel said that we have a very high calling that has been come to reality in your life. God, when you were reborn, when you have been born again, God put new life inside of you. So right now, I'm not just able to live the heavenly life, the supernatural life. God says, I want this life for you. And I'm not a dreamer if I believe that I have been born again and now the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I'm not a dreamer when I know all the challenges I face right now. They're not for my destruction. They're not because I did something wrong, but because there's a calling in my life that I should be transformed into the image of Christ. And yesterday, my students, they really got me to the point where I was feeling stressed. They treated another teacher quite bad, and I was taking it to my heart, and I was feeling bad. I was a little bit angry because, they treated that person wrong. And later on, I realized, oh, wait a second. I was identifying myself again with my old nature and not with the words of the king. And it's always, if you realize that, in that moment, you can change your identity from that you draw from your neighbors, from your brothers, from your past. You can change your identity in that second to the identity that the king tells you. That you are loved, that you are justified, that you are pure and holy in his sight, that you are called, that you are filled with the love of God. And you can change and live as a king's child. And that is what I want to encourage you today. Let hope allow that you are not focused on circumstances more than you are focused on the Word of God. Let not challenges allow that it keeps and hinders your perspective to see your neighbor clearly. And also that the hope reminds you that you should believe more in the truth that comes from the king then you believe the truth that comes from your neighbor, your feelings, your circumstances, or anywhere else. And let us pray that this truth really gets deep in our heart. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this wonderful morning. I thank you, yeah, for your word. I thank you that you rose us up as kings and priests in your kingdom, that we are called, that we are purified, and that we are filled with the love of God, that we received a new nature that we are able to live in. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for another day to experience your wonderful working inside of us. Amen.